Betty Jo Clary arrived at Campbell College in the fall semester of 1976, but was already a pioneer in women's collegiate sports. In the days before scholarships were given for athletic achievement, Betty Jo was a leading figure in the growth of female athletics in North Carolina. A native of High Point and graduate of Western Carolina, she played a vital role as Campbell and many other schools in the state moved from AIAW to the NAIA and ultimately to NCAA Division I status in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Along the way, Betty Jo helped lay the foundation of Campbell's women's athletic program while leading the basketball team to a 70-44 record and 5 straight winning seasons. In addition to carrying a full teaching load, she also coached Campbell's softball team for several years and the volleyball squad for 2 seasons. In a career that spanned 3 decades, Betty Jo also coached field hockey and tennis. She was inducted into the Campbell Athletics Hall of Fame in 2001. My name is Stan Cole, class of 1987, and this is our next installment of Tales from the Creek, where we visit with the people who have made this place special over the years. I'm delighted to be joined today by Fighting Campbell Hall of Famer, Betty Jo Clary. Welcome to Tales from the Creek, Betty Jo, and thanks for taking the time to visit with us. Betty Jo Clary arrived at Campbell College in the fall semester of 1976, but was already a pioneer in women's collegiate sports. In the days before scholarships were given for athletic achievement, Betty Jo was a leading figure in the growth of female athletics in North Carolina. A native of High Point and graduate of Western Carolina, she played a vital role as Campbell and many other schools in the state moved from AIAW to the NAIA and ultimately to NCAA Division I status in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Along the way, Betty Jo helped lay the foundation of Campbell's women's athletic program while leading the basketball team to a 70-44 record and 5 straight winning seasons. In addition to carrying a full teaching load, she also coached Campbell's softball team for several years and the volleyball squad for 2 seasons. In a career that spanned 3 decades, Betty Jo also coached field hockey and tennis during her tenure. She was inducted into the Campbell Athletics Hall of Fame in 2001. My name is Stan Cole, class of 1987, and this is our next installment of Tales from the Creek, where we visit with the people who've made this place special over the years. I'm delighted to be joined today by Fighting Campbell Hall of Famer, Betty Jo Clary. Welcome to Tales from the Creek, Betty Jo, and thanks for taking the time to visit with us.
I thank you, Stan, you and Wanda. It's a real privilege to have you in my home today.
Well, Betty Jo, let's just start out at the beginning. Tell us about what it was like growing up in High Point, and then how you got involved in sports.
As I often tell people, growing up in the city of High Point was a beautiful childhood for me. You have a close community. We had lots of events that were available to us, and also we just had family life here. Very, very beautiful growing up in the city of High Point.
So how did you become interested in sports? Was it just friends, family members you played with, or?
Well, I do have family members that my father loved his baseball. Mm-hmm. Went to see them all the time. But basically, I just was a little different as I grew up, and I'm the last of 8 children. I did a lot of individual playing at times around their home, which is very close by here. And I enjoyed throwing a softball or a ball of some nature back in those days, because we're talking about many, many years ago, up on the roof of our house and catching it. I was always involved. And I actually have a picture in my baby album where I'm standing out in the front yard close by and have a basketball and a pair of old blue jeans, and I'm sure it belonged to my brothers, one of them. It's just always been an interest, and I wanted people to know that basketball, even for the young age, for no reason. I'm not sure if that was a basketball in my hand, by the way. Mm-hmm. That was back in the 1930s and 40s. So anyway, I just somewhere have always had an interest in love of sports, and it continued throughout my life. I knew when I reached high school, I was going to go to college. I didn't know for sure how, and I didn't know whether my parents could afford it or not or whatever, but I knew I was going to go to college, and I was going to be a PE teacher.
So in when you were in high school, was that were sports offered for girls back then and the high school level?
Yes, we had what was known as the Girls Athletic Association. Mm-hmm. And we played starting in the fall with things like wasn't really soccer at that time. We played a game where we use of feet, use of hands, and it was an enjoyable time.
So what?
And also then we went with volleyball and basketball, softball, and field days.
Other than, enjoying sports growing up, did you have anything else in your youth? Did you have any part-time jobs or anything that you did outside of school and sport?
No, the only outside job I guess I really had during that period of time was the summer before I went to college, and I needed some money, and Daddy had been the superintendent of a Sunshine Laundry, and I spent my summer there, and I decided I would find something else to do the next summer.
That is always a great teachable moment, because there's a number of people that I've talked to, and I believe that's something that you need to do something to figure out that you don't want to do that. If you don't know what you want to do, you at least need to have a job that you're saying, well, I'd rather not do that.
How about that? That's true, I think.
How did you come about your decision to attend Western Carolina?
Yeah, this goes back to a story that's rather strange in a way, but there had been a couple young ladies at High Point Central that had gone to Western Carolina as freshmen, and they had been in the GAs at Central. They came back, and they seemed to be excited about where they were, so there were three of us, my friend Pat Hester, mm-hmm. and another young lady called Paige was with me, and we were all three going to Western Carolina to follow them, I assume. I'm not sure, but I did make that decision with sight unseen, not having gone to Western Carolina at all, that that's where I wanted to go. Well, we all three applied. We were all three accepted, and Paige, and her name is Paige Getty, was actually offered a football scholarship.
So wow.
All boys laughed about that. But Pat Hester decided to go to High Point College. And then I was there going by myself to Western Carolina.
Well, now, for those who've never been to Cullowhee, North Carolina, and for somebody that's from Buies Creek, basically, and went to school at Buies Creek, you kind of have to go to Asheville and make a left-hand turn, and you're out there. And what was Cullowhee like in the 50s and your college experience there?
Yeah, when my father was driving up there for the first time, by the way, and they were doing some work really on a road from going into Western Carolina, from Silver to Western Carolina, so it was a dirt road that we had to get on to go around there. He was upset because he said, there can't be a place down here. I don't know where we're heading. So we did finally get to Western Carolina campus from that point, and it was, I was homesick. Mm-hmm. There was one other, a young man from High Point Central was there, so he had a car, and we knew we kept going home for Thanksgiving, but I got homesick. Mother and Daddy came up to visit, and I wanted to go back home with them, and he said, money's been paid. You're staying. So
what was it?
I enjoyed.
Yeah, what was it? When did you start feel like you'd found a place that you really liked to be and you knew you'd be there for the next few years?
I think it was when I started taking classes, and particularly meeting up with the physical education staff at Western Carolina. And I began to enjoy myself as I got truly involved in classes. And that was not until after about Christmas time. I was ready to go, to remain there and go back.
Betty Jo, will you share with our listeners what women's sports looks like back then? Did you have to compete for a place to play, or kind of a place at the table, so to speak?
Well, when we were at Western Carolina, we again had a Women's Athletic Association as well, and of course joined there. We would go to different colleges. And back in those days, it wasn't really felt that women were had the ability or should be straining themselves to a strong extent. So we had what was called sports days and play days, and never really competing as such as Western Carolina, but sharing players and just competing. And so it wasn't highly competitive, let's put it that way.
After graduating from Western, what did your career path look like? You went to Mecklenburg County to teach, and then on to High Point College. Tell us a little bit about those times.
Well, we had to do student teaching mm-hmm. during my senior year, and I went to Charlotte to do mine, and as a result, had to have a car. So I was able to get a car to do my student teaching in Charlotte. While there, I enjoyed it, and I was offered a contract to teach in the Charlotte-Mecklenburg school system for the next 2 years.
What do you remember about those times? Was that something where you were involved in trying to help athletic opportunities for young people grow?
At Western, I was at that time at West...
Mecklenburg?
Yes.
Right. Sure.
West Mecklenburg High School. And did start, as I had been accustomed to at High Point Central, did start the GA mm-hmm. for the girls. And we had a lot of, again, competition, but not strong competition. It just wasn't favorable at that point that women needed that much competition. But we did play around with some of the other schools in the Charlotte area because they were there. We were West Mecklenburg. You had other schools in Charlotte, Myers Park, etc. And we played them. But again, they're more like sports days to go in, enjoy the sport, compete, and then have cookies afterwards.
It's so hard to think about something like that when we see the growth and what, you know, sports in general, and then of course women's sports in particular, that there's worldwide attention on women's sports now, and then back back when you were starting out in your professional career and your when you were in college. That you got together and it was just a kind of a social aspect. That's, I wonder if some of the Caitlin Clarks of the world understand just how far it's come.
As the old saying goes, we've come a long way. Be appreciative of where it has arrived and take care of what you have.
Betty Jo, in the early 1960s, you were among a group of college coaches who met in Greensboro and organized guidelines for the first tournament that fed its winner into regional competition. Can you tell us a little bit about that process?
Beginning at the very early part at High Point College, once again, the beginning always starts is trying to gather a group of young ladies that really interested in sports and wanting, and for me at the beginning, a lot of it involved teaching physical education. Mm-hmm. For students that wanted to become physical educators. And to me, a large part of that is that they would start organizations like GAs and compete against other schools in the area. So I would require my majors, female majors, to compete in different sports. And we played a lot of colleges in the area. And, there's local ones around UNCG, Wake Forest, Catawba, a lot of them. And it wasn't particularly highly competitive at that time. It has become to the extent that it has become now because we were not really paid or have any a budget for women's athletics. We just would go on the dance and travel to the places, and sometimes we would stop by McDonald's or somewhere to have a sandwich, and oftentimes they would give the van drivers a free sandwich, and the kids would have to pay. It was a fun time, really, of enjoying and driving and to these events, and the kids enjoyed them.
So for different sports, you were recruiting your students, your majors, to fill out those teams. Did you have instances where some of your players had never played that sport before or before they got to High Point?
It would be some with limited experience, but most of them had played some type of sport at some point, and probably that's why they were majoring in physical education at that time. It changed from the beginning until the time I left High Point, mm-hmm. of course. It was almost, I believed in adhering to the regulations set up by the Women's National Organization. did follow through with them because I believed in what they were trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So the regulations dealt with a number of grade penalties and things of that nature. So it was more educationally oriented. But it began, progress. We went from trying the rover player with basketball, we went then to the 5-on-5, where I certainly had to engage the help of some of the men that had coached for that strategy for many years. And so that was also a communication with the other staff members that I had there, and they were always willing to help, and it was great to see them progress to the point that, I guess, when in the 1960s, late 60s, we began to see the change when they had women's athletics, or women in general, began to have equal opportunities available to them.
Right. Betty Jo, what led you to Campbell and Buies Creek?
Well, I had been in graduate school,
mm-hmm.
working towards the doctorate. And eventually I felt a need to find a job, I guess, for a while. And somehow I ended up at Campbell. I applied there and had an interview with Wendell Carr and Dean Burkott, and loved him. And the interview went well, and he pushed a piece of paper towards me towards the end of the interview with a figure, and I pushed one back just a little bit, and we came to a very big to a difference. And I just, the atmosphere of him doing that, and he had it all in his head, Dr. Burkhardt. So I accepted that, and I had applied elsewhere and did receive a call later after I had already made the commitment to Campbell. So I went to Campbell.
And that's in these days of human resources departments and multi-year contracts and all this, you're sitting at a counter or a tabletop and you're passing a figure back and across the table. It's kind of, once again, we've come a long way, have we not?
But also, it's to me, I'm more in education, and I saw the atmosphere there, and it just impressed me.
What are some of your best memories of your time at Campbell, Betty Jo?
Well, at first, it was difficult. It wasn't the easiest adjustment for me to be. I'd been in graduate school at UNCG for 3 years. I'm heading out somewhere I haven't been necessarily, and leaving my family behind because I had been living with around my family for all those years. So it was not an easy adjustment to know that I was leaving there. And when I arrived, it was a different atmosphere, and I didn't settle in for first 2 or 3 years. But when I did, it was the need to make a commitment to not only the students I was teaching, but really to make a commitment to Campbell and to my athletes, and that I needed to spend time because I had some beautiful players giving their all to me. I loved being on the Campbell campus. It took about 3 years, as I've told you, to really get myself adjusted to what I wanted and what I wanted to do. But from that point on, it was an environment that I felt a great deal of friendship with different people. From the Department of Education was Dr. Theo Strom, and she was a good friend and helped a lot within the Department of Education and to continue to help us within the Physical Education Department with our majors as well. And other people around, Francis Lord, who taught and taught in the department, coached tennis. Just a joy to know and see her always mounts in a ramp. Wendell Carr, Dr. Larsh, head of the Department of Physical Education, and Danny Roberts, many others that I may fail to mention because I'm getting a little age on me here at times, but the whole department was just very close. And with also other parts of the community.
Share with me a little bit about Wendell Carr. I knew Coach Carr, but he passed on, a couple decades ago, and he's one of the big reasons that Campbell moved forward in its athletics program. What was your relationship like with Wendell, and what did he mean to that place?
He was a big asset to Campbell in the area of athletics. He had come, I assume also because Dr. Wiggins had probably helped to recruit him from Wake Forest. So he was very knowledgeable in his area and very intelligent with the athletics. And at no time did I not believe that he had a heart for trying to do the best he could to be sure that the women had some opportunity. He, too, is an administrator. Administrators always have to be concerned about their budget. And so, therefore, the time comes that you begin to want more. And he does try to provide, and he did provide for us, I thought, very well, because we did end up with 3 6-footers at one point, and it was good to have them there. But not only that, he had an Irish setter that I loved, and I'm an animal lover. And he also got one of my puppies, and so, it was just a good environment to live in, and he was a good person, and he traveled with me to go recruiting, and because I was not familiar with the area. He would get in the car, and he'd go with me and take me to these places and introduce me to the staffs or the coaches often. So very supportive of what I was doing. His, we always talk differences with money and to get more players in, and you want that. And he did the best he could with also trying to do all of the other sports and give them what they needed. So,
Betty Jo, your teams at Campbell were highly successful. Why was that? What were some of the expectations you had of your players?
To be committed to each other, not to me, but to be committed to them, to each other, because they're on the court together, and they have to be able to like each other and to care about what happens to each player. To me, that's what sport is about, is what the interaction is on the court and with other players. No one a star necessarily, but and to deal with me on the sideline and in practice, it's not easy either. I remember one, and I will tell this on Rhonda. I was trying to get her to do something at one time and one position to have, and I was probably sounding a little grumpy at times. And I saw tears rolling down her face, and I'm sitting there saying, "Good heavens, she's 6 foot and I'm 5'5". I began to feel a very compassion for the players that were there finally, and that was a good thing.
Now, our Hall of Fame coach, Wanda Watkins, has shared with me that you had, quote, high expectations for officials when they called your game. Share with us a little bit about your background and how you became to know so much about the officiating side of the game.
Well, I did tell you that I spent 3 years in graduate school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And therefore, money becomes a factor at some point. You'd like to eat a little bit better some days and end up getting tired of hot dogs. Anyway, there's always was the opportunity for women officials, and I certainly picked up on that with the group that were in my graduate class as well. And so I spent a couple years officiating. And when they came, and some of them were friends, we were all had officiated together. And when they came to Campbell to officiate, I expected perfection from them, not favors, but perfection. And oftentimes I didn't find perfection in officials. I still don't. When I watch a game, I don't find perfection in officials. So.
Well, when you've done something, you know what it requires, and you have a little higher level of understanding if maybe someone is taking the night off, so to speak, or not doing quite as well as they could.
They're not as well focused on the game. They're focused much on something else, perhaps, and they need to get their game focused on what's going on in the court.
Betty Jo, how about from an academic perspective? What did you stress to your students in the classroom?
Always, whether they were at High Point or whether they were at Campbell. There's nothing expected of you either. You're going to be here to get an education and to make a living for yourself and your family. And therefore, you're going to have to perform in the classroom. My expectations were you can do it, because if you can put up with different plays on a court, deal with that, go to classroom, there's no way you cannot pass the classes and be committed to that.
Our guest today on Tales from the Creek is Campbell Hall of Fame coach and women's sports pioneer Betty Jo Clary. Betty Jo, during your career, your teams competed against other schools that were coached by future legends like Kay Yao and Nora Lynn Finch. Share with us a little bit about these two coaches and what they meant to the growth of women's sports in this area.
Well, I had known Kay Yao a little bit more so, perhaps, than I had Nora Lynn, but I knew both of them. And both of them came up at a time that we had to fight, basically, for providing opportunities for women in athletics. It wasn't a given. Kay spent her whole life, and from the very beginning, she was in graduate school. Kay had one aim, and she loved basketball, and she wanted to coach basketball. She was played out here in the county, and she was just an excellent individual inside with the love of basketball for her, and therefore highly competitive person. She also played a lot of good softball.
And you had some pretty good battles against Nora Lynn Finch when she was coaching at Peace College in particular.
Absolutely. We had one beautiful time that we did beat Peace, and it wasn't an overtime game, and it brought joy to the hearts of not only myself, but many of my players. They had fought hard the entire game, and it was, you're drained by the time a game like that is over, and I'll keep pictures of that in my mind forever.
Betty Jo, you also worked at Campbell during the heyday of the Campbell Basketball School. What are some of your memories of those hot summers in Buies Creek and throughout Harnett County?
Well, really, more in touch with Danny Roberts and what he had to go through all of that we had. But again, it was just meeting other coaches at that time that were there and being glad to have them on our campus.
Betty Jo, you recruited and coached several athletes who later joined you in the coaching profession and have also been inducted into the Campbell Hall of Fame. Tell me a little bit about some of these, and I'll just list off a few here, but let's start with Wanda Watkins. Tell me a couple of what our listeners need to know about her.
She was strong-minded, strong-willed, and saw her through very many exciting years, I'm sure, at Campbell. But she stated her opinion to me as well, even as a athlete or as a coach, careful about being the coach of how strong it might get at times, perhaps. But she was always a very strong-willed person and very committed to her role at Campbell.
How about Barbara Fox?
Oh, I never got over the play of Barbara Fox. We're talking about a 5'4" player that was doing the tap for starting the game at center. And, you know, she just was so quick in her movement. Not enough could be said about her because she was just an awesome overall player and was willing to stay and come to Campbell back another year when she could have graduated from Campbell a year earlier. So,
How about Rhonda Muller?
Oh, I don't think, I've already told you a story about Rhonda. So that's the kind of person she was from the beginning to end. And I understand she's the same way today as she was back then. So she's and certainly was talented. Not only talented in basketball, but that young lady was offered scholarships in softball as well.
And it's funny that you mentioned the tears flowing from her eyes, because when she sat at that same microphone and started telling stories about her family and her memories, her cheeks were very wet, and she said, "Wanda and Mary are gonna give me a hard time about this one, because my nickname's Crybaby to them." And so when you said that, that just took me back to when Rhonda and I were recording an episode about a year ago. And all three of those ladies dedicated their professional life to teaching and coaching and helping young people realize their dreams.
That they have brought joy to my heart to know what they have achieved, as it does anytime I look back. And the players, the students, they have just done so well with their lives. They continued on to make life better for others.
Betty Jo, the women's basketball program at Campbell has had such an incredible alumni following. What do you think it is that keeps those teammates and coaches so close through the years?
My personality. Wanda has worked hard to get to continue the alumni involvement in basketball and other sports at Campbell. You know, it takes a lot of work and a lot of caring from the heart. And these kids know whether or not you care for them from the heart, or they're just part of a team. And Campbell coaches seem to have it together from the heart for these kids, and they recognize that gratefully.
Of course, Title IX has played a major role in the growth of opportunities for female athletes, coaches, and administrators. What's it like to be a firsthand witness to that growth over the last six decades?
Oh, it's amazing. I have done something all my life that I've enjoyed, and how blessed you have to be to look back on your life and know that you had a profession that you loved as much as I loved mine. Not just coaching. I was also very much a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And just happiness you have. The lives that you touch, you hope, is for the good. And prayfully, if you care for them enough, it is. But you know, it's just a good life, and I'm happy.
Betty Jo, now young female athletes can turn on the television or follow online, and they've got professional players that look like them. You know, I've interviewed people in the past that female athletes who didn't have a female role model necessarily that they could look to as somebody they patterned their game after or influenced them. You know, the rise of coverage in women's sports is amazing. What we see throughout. I can remember being back in the 70s, and you would get some Olympics in the winter or the summer every 4 years, and we all knew Billie Jean King and Chris Evert and later Martina Navratilova from tennis, but it was kind of pockets. And now there are female athletes like Katie Ledecky and Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese that, you know, are household names. It's got to be amazing for you to be able to turn on the television on a Sunday afternoon and see high-level Division I women's basketball.
Huh. It has been amazing, but not just that. You mentioned Caitlin Clark.
Mm-hmm.
She brought me back to watching professional women's basketball or watching good college basketball. She plays the game of basketball as it should have been played when she was in college. I only watched her the last 2 years, and when I finally caught up with it, and I did not miss any game that I could see on TV. Mainly, it has nothing to do. She loved the game. It showed on the court. It showed in everything she did. She loved what she was doing while she was there, and she cared about those other players and gave them credit constantly for what they achieved on that court, her teammates, and her basketball movements. She had the movement very much like, Wanda is aware of it, and I had a couple other players that I have had through my lifetime that had some of that talent of being able to pass the ball to a player without them, without watching them. And, you know, you see that, and you see that occurring again. I was extremely happy because I had missed some of that. It's gotten so going down the court, shooting a three shorter and coming back the other way. Right. That to me was basketball, total basketball again. And I loved it.
Betty Jo, I like to ask my guests this question, no matter if it's a 21-year-old college senior or someone who's been around the game a while, but what's the best piece of advice that you would give to someone who's in college or participating in college athletics? If you had to give them one piece of advice.
Enjoy the time you're there. Enjoy the game and enjoy the people. Just find happiness, and that's what I tell my nephews or great nephews now. Do what you enjoy doing, and if you don't enjoy it, then you need to step off the court.
In 2001, you were inducted into the Campbell Athletics Hall of Fame. What does that honor mean to you?
It means a great deal to me because it also tells me that really what it tells me is that players did appreciate what was done.
Since you've retired, you're still very active here in High Point. Share with us a little bit about what you do to stay busy these days.
It certainly was a lot busier about 2 or 3 years ago than I may be now, but a lot of it is watching some basketball now again on TV. But also I am very much involved with my church family and in teaching Sunday school. I don't know that I ever thought that I would be back in the area of teaching Sunday school, maybe another area perhaps, but I have found such joy, and that's what I enjoy doing. And hopefully we'll be able to continue that. I have done a lot of work with Open Door Shelter with my church. That brought the greatest joy to me and the realization that we can't stop caring about the people that have less than what we have. They're all out there. They're human beings, and they're loved by God and by the Lord. And it brought me to a sense of understanding a little bit better about another area of community life that I had ignored, and I was glad to be brought, faced with it through the church. And
finally, Betty Jo, can you put into words how Campbell University and the Buies Creek community have impacted your life?
Just being grateful that I had the opportunity and that I took it at the time. I'm not saying I lived the perfect life at times, but I did have these opportunities and did enjoy being there. So just grateful.
I'm Stan Cole, and our guest today on Tales from the Creek has been women's athletic pioneer and Campbell Hall of Fame member, Coach Betty Jo Clary. Thank you, Betty Jo, for sharing your tales from the creek.
Thank you, Stan, for being here, along with bringing Wanda back.